CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs, they all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
Charles Darwin said, "It is not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who respond to change. Our first playmaker leads a company that has recorded more than 1,000% growth from 2012 till 2014, while our next playmaker leads an organization with 21 branches, nearly 1,800 employees, providing services to 125,000 members. With us today is the CEO of a company that commands a 95% share in the restaurant tabletop tablet space. Well, our next CEO's career has spanned 39 years, including stints from Memphis to Phoenix and from Des Moines to Houston. These great playmakers are Austin Mullender. Austin is CEO of Ziosk, and Gordy Ektenkamp, who is the CEO of the YMCA of Metropolitan Dallas. We'll begin today's show with Gordon. Gordy grew up in Fremont, Nebraska as a YMCA kid and attended college at Ottawa University in Kansas. His YMCA career has spanned 39 years and six YMCA associations, including Kansas City, Memphis, Houston, Phoenix, and Des Moines, before returning to Texas in 2002 when he accepted the position of president and CEO of one of the premier YMCAs in the country. The Dallas YMCA has a $55 million annual budget, with 21 branches and nearly 1,800 employees providing services to 125,000 members. Well, Gordy, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, it's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, how did a kid from Fremont, Nebraska end up the CEO of the YMCA in Dallas?
Well, growing up in Fremont, the Y was the place to be. One of our realtor friends says that the place in town that you want to be from a real estate perspective is at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk. And that's where the Fremont, Nebraska Y was. Had wonderful experiences there, and it led to a career in the Y when I started in 1976 in Kansas City.
Well, I've lived in some smaller towns in Nebraska and Kansas, and the Y tends to be almost a central gathering point for a lot of people because it's the main area to get together.
It certainly could be. We like to say that we're that third place in people's lives, from whether it's home and school or work, or in church, but the third place needs to be someplace other than those where you can meet friends and you know that there's people there who care for you. And we think that's what we've become in many people's lives.
Well, we were talking just before the show started about the origination of the YMCA. You said it started 1844 in London, and then it came to the United States when?
Yeah, we were founded in 1844 in London, England, and it only took 7 years for that germ of an idea then to move to North America, first in Montreal in 1851 in November, and in December in Boston in 1851.
What was the genesis of the YMCA? What was it designed for back in those days? We're looking at over 150 years ago.
Yeah, 160 years. The creator of the Y in London, his name is George Williams. And his focus at the time was to bring young men together around him that were focused on personal growth and spiritual enrichment. And then later, a physical vitality was added to that concept to form now what we universally recognize as the inverted triangle that's the symbol of the Y: spirit, mind, body, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But it was bringing other people around him that had similar interests and were trying to help all people achieve their personal goals.
Was sports the integral part of the Y back then?
Not in the beginning.
Or education?
It was personal growth, spiritual enrichment. It wasn't until the mid-1880s that this third component of physical vitality was brought together by a teacher at Springfield College by the name of Luther Gulick. He said his reading of the Bible was to be a wholesome, healthy person, you had to have that third component to it. So he became a proponent of muscular Christianity, he called it, which as we would call today health and physical fitness.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but basketball was started at a YMCA in the East Coast.
Yeah, it was started actually in Springfield. Luther Gulick, same guy, he was a teacher, and he made an assignment to one of his students. And he said, those big old football players who play football for Springfield College in the fall, it's too cold for them to be outside. So here in this thing that he created to teach his muscular Christianity that we now call a gymnasium, he called a hall of health. He gave a class assignment to a fellow that you might recognize the name, James Naismith. And Naismith came up with the game of the peach baskets on the opposite ends of this hall of health and the 10 guys on the court and tossing the ball up through the peach baskets in 1891. Luther then made a class assignment 4 years later to one of Naismith's college buddies by the name of William Morgan. He told William Morgan, he said, now, your buddy Naismith invented basketball a couple years ago, but your downtown guys in Holyoke, Massachusetts, that's too vigorous for them, so come up with another game. So he stretched a cable across his hall of health, the gymnasium. Instead of throwing the ball through baskets, they just tossed it back and forth over the rope, and we became the creators of volleyball, also in a YMCA.
So if it was for the YMCA, we wouldn't have basketball, we wouldn't have volleyball.
Wouldn't have Toastmasters, wouldn't have racquetball, wouldn't have ESL classes. There's all sorts of things.
Wow,
that the
all start from the YMCA. Yes. Coming back to James Naismith, he was born in Canada, but coming full circle, I believe his last job was University of Kansas, back in Kansas.
That's right.
Coming back to where you were, went to college. Talk about the Dallas YMCA. You have 21 different branches. What makes a Dallas YMCA so unique?
I think what's unique about the Y in general is that we respond to emerging community needs in our communities. We listen to what it is that families need from us, and then we respond programmatically. So while the Y is it's about the 20th largest Y in North America by budget size, because we got a lot of branches, the important thing is what we do every day individually with kids and families in our gymnasiums and our swimming pools. And that's to put people in an environment where we can help them achieve their goals and do it in an environment that's supportive of respect, responsibility, honesty, and caring.
Well, I've heard about some of your most interesting programs that are outside the YMCA, where you're going someplace else, specifically Make a Splash. Talk about that and the impact that's had on a lot of kids.
Well, for over 100 years, the Y has been teaching swimming lessons to kids. Here in our association, we'll operate 25 different swimming pools, indoor and outdoor pools, in facilities managed by the YMCA. And we'll teach about 18,000 swimming lessons to kids this year in that environment. So you think about the personal skills that kids attain, the life-saving skills that they attain, but think about how great a kid feels when they finally can swim from one end of the pool to the other and they've accomplished the skill and the smile on their face. So those are for kids who come to our YMCAs, but there's thousands of kids who can never make it to a Y because they live in an environment where there's not a Y close. Perhaps they don't have the resources or the transportation to come to a local YMCA. And then you couple that with this really incredible statistic that African American kids and Hispanic kids have 3 times the risk of drowning from accidental death than Anglo kids. Young boys, African American boys, 8 to 10 years old, their risk of drowning is 10 times that of Anglo kids. So what do? We go to apartment complexes, primarily low income, primarily minority kids. We hired 10 teams of swimming instructors and lifeguards last summer and transported them to 150 different apartment communities, provided 8 swimming lessons free to nearly 4,000 kids. So we're probably not creating Olympic swimmers, but think about the life-saving skills that the kids learned and think about how great they felt when they knew that somebody was going to show up every day and pay attention to just them for that hour.
I had the CEO of Baylor Scott & White on the show a few weeks back, and he said there are 3 ways to remain healthy because he wants to keep people out of his hospitals. Don't smoke, eat right, and exercise. And my guess is that's probably part of the mantra of the YMCA, too.
That is part of the mantra. And everybody's a health seeker anymore, regardless of their level of health and fitness. Everybody's trying to figure out how to move to that next level of health. And that's what our entire focus is in the Y. It's not just teaching exercise classes. It's giving people the motivation, because we all know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to exercise. We're supposed to eat right. But it's not having the motivation or the support structure around you. And that's what we do the best at the Y.
I'm speaking with Gordy Echtenkamp. He is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Metropolitan Dallas. Their website is ymcadallas.org. Now, going through your website, I found some tabs: youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. Hit a little bit on those three in terms of what you're providing for the community.
Sure. For youth development, it's for putting kids in environments where they can improve skills, as we talked about, but also to give them the developmental nutrients or the assets that they need to make good decisions in the future. They're not going to have adults around them all the time telling them what to do, and so we've got to provide the skills to them and give them the self-confidence to make good decisions. So whether it's in our after-school program, we're in 70 different elementary schools now, providing licensed care to school-age kids, nearly 3,000 kids. I talked about the swimming lesson program. We got 55,000 kids participating in youth sports programs, so they're learning how to kick a soccer ball, but they're learning about partnership and cooperation and teamwork and respect. So that's youth development for us. Healthy living, if all it took to get America healthy was to put people on a treadmill, we just have to buy a lot of treadmills and everybody get healthy. That's not the problem. The problem is providing structure and support for people to make good, healthy choices. So healthy living, we've got lots of exercise classes. We got lots of equipment in our buildings. But more importantly, we have a lot of people who care about our members who try to put them in a position to get healthier. In addition to that, we have a diabetes prevention program for adults who have prediabetes to help them lose weight. We know that weight gain is the precursor to diabetes. Once you get diabetes, you just can't get rid of it. All you can do is control it. So we want to help people lose 5% of their body weight so they never develop diabetes, which is the next health tsunami that's going to hit us all if we aren't able to reverse the trend.
As you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, you are not a health club.
Absolutely not a health club.
Health clubs do have the equipment. You can exercise there. But you take it a step farther, if nothing else, with the youth development, your social responsibility. It's more than just the exercise.
Yeah.
As you said, if nothing else, a teamwork that these kids are learning too. It's not just winning at a sport. It's working together with each other.
That's exactly right. You talked about social responsibility also as the third area of focus. This year, we'll raise nearly $4.5 million in scholarship assistance to be able to provide these programs to folks who can't afford them. Our mission in the Y, which is the beginning of everything that we do, is to put Christian values into practice through programs that build healthy spirit, mind, and body for all. So for all is just as important as the other 15 words, and that's why we raise scholarship assistance to kids and families who can't afford to pay for it. So 10,000 people will write us a check this year to say, I believe so much that the Y is a great organization. I'm willing to invest in what you do. Another great social responsibility program that we do is for our high school and junior high kids, a program called Youth and Government. It's a model legislative program, model judicial program for middle school and high school kids. We'll have November 21st, we'll have 1,200 high school kids show up in their suits and black ties and long dresses for our district conference for Youth and Government to prepare to go to the state conference. And again, they're learning about civics and Texas government, but they're learning about communication skills and self-confidence and how to work with others.
That's a tremendous way to develop, if nothing else, the kids in our community. We'll tell everybody how they can find out more about the Y and or join the Y.
Sure. Well, ymcadallas.org is the best resource for you. Or you could go to any one of our 21 locations. We have buildings from Frisco and McKinney down to Waxahachie, from Rockwall over to Grand Prairie, based in our communities. So we encourage anybody to stop by, but ymcadallas.org is probably the best resource.
And they can find all those locations on the website.
Yes, sir.
Well, Gordy, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Gordon Echtenkamp is the CEO and president of the YMCA of Metropolitan Dallas. But don't go away. We're going to talk about that little thing that's on some of the tables in restaurants you go to. It's a tablet, and that's called the Ziosk. We're going to talk to the CEO of Ziosk. His name is Austin Mullender. We'll be back with Austin right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment is going to be about food, but a little differently. We're going to speak with Ziosk President and CEO Austin Mullender. Now, Austin brings more than 25 years of experience in managing global sales, marketing, and operations. He most recently served as Corporate Vice President of Operator Channels at Microsoft, and also served for 6 years as President and CEO of Fujitsu Transaction Solutions. Now, based in Dallas, Ziosk is the first entertainment, ordering, and pay-at-the-table tablet for the restaurant market. The technology featuring a 7-inch tablet and encrypted credit card reader resides on each table and enables guests to see menu items, play games, view news and entertainment, order food and beverages, and pay on demand, all of which gives guests control over their dining experience. We're going to hear all about that. Austin, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for the opportunity.
This is an interesting concept. Talk about what the Ziosk model is. Really, what is it?
Sure. I think the first thing we're trying to do is to give a new level of control to the guests in a sit-down restaurant. And so we've all experienced the frustration of where's the server? Even a great server sometimes is too busy. So by giving the guests control of ordering appetizers, you know, ordering desserts, and especially being able to pay at the table without the credit card leaving your hand, that's a new level of control for the customers, and, you know, customers love that. We've also added a couple of other things around, you know, being able to connect with the loyalty scheme and play games and so on. But ultimately, the primary customer for the Ziosk is the sit-down dining guest.
Interesting. The first couple of times I went to restaurants, and I think it was Chili's and Olive Garden, first time that I went to one, I thought that this is going to reduce customer service because there's less interaction with the customer. What I noticed when I was at Abuelo's is the server had more time to do what he had to do to service, and everything else could be put on the Ziosk, which made it much better for us.
You can have a job anytime. So, you know, beautifully said. We sometimes have this concern that somehow we're going to either reduce service or, even worse, put servers out of, you know, out of jobs. The customers that we serve, the Chili's, the Olive Gardens, the Red Robins, the Abuelos, and so on, they're very dedicated to providing the best possible service to their customers. What they've done is by enabling the customers to take control when they want to, the server now spends less time in the back of the house paying and all, you know, doing payments and so on, and can spend more time providing service. And actually what we find is the guest satisfaction scores go up across the restaurant. And funnily enough, they go up whether the guest uses the Ziosk or not, because it's optional. And the ones who don't use it have still got more access to their server because they're not spending so much time around the back. So I'm glad you spotted that. It's a big point.
I believe I read that about 80% of those at a table use Ziosk.
Yes. It's almost at that level, literally, just for people who pay with their, you know, their credit or debit card. But between, you know, browsing the menu, ordering items, checking with eClub, doing things like, you know, one of the things, for example, Wyman spoke about on your program was the great commitment they have to St. Jude's. Obviously, the Ziosk makes it very easy to give to charity. Yeah, about 80% of the people who sit down will use it for some function or other.
Let's talk about that, because Chili's does use that for charity, specifically with St. Jude's. Tell us how that's working.
Well, obviously, we love the charity that Chili's has been so committed to over the years. And what we really do is we help to promote it. We help the server to tell the story of St. Jude's. And then, of course, we make it very easy to contribute because it just goes on the check. And actually, when you get to the checkout moment on the Ziosk, there's a very simple button you can press to say, hey, I'll add something for St. Jude's. Very frictionless and very effective, and obviously for a great cause.
Just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
This is an interesting concept, but let's talk about how it started, because it's interesting starting here in Dallas with an SMU professor, Jack Baum.
Yeah.
Tell us how that started and what he did.
Yeah, so great story for Dallas, actually. So he's a serial entrepreneur in the restaurant business, but also has supported technology companies. He was an associate or is associate professor of entrepreneurship at SMU. He gave a challenge to one of his classes about this idea that actually his son, Nathan, had for, you know, pay at the table. Three of his students took it up, and then afterwards they came to him and said, look, we want to turn this into a business. And those three, Sean, Viren, and Raymond, are still all senior players in the business. They got together, and yeah, it's a tremendous Dallas story. And then with Brinker being the first customer, I think Dallas hit a home run on this one.
Absolutely. You had an announcement recently come out about security mobile payment for customers.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to talk about that, because it's interesting now what you knew with the Apple Pay and the Google Android Pay.
Mm-hmm.
How does someone use that when they're sitting at the table?
So a couple of things in that announcement. First one, we're just taking the security that's available to the guests to a whole new level. I think many of your listeners will have heard that some POS systems have been, you know, breached by, you know, the bad guys. What we've done is, through taking an encrypted payment and tokenizing it before it gets to the POS, it just removes all of the potential for that, for the data the bad guys want is basically taken out of the system. The second thing we've announced is that we've been working with Apple and with Google on making it simple to just literally tap your phone on the Ziosk as a form of payment. We will, and in fact, Brinker followed up the announcement to say they're going to deploy that as the first chain globally, I believe, to take Apple Pay on the table. It's a great thing for the guests, and interestingly, Apple are very excited about it because right now you can't really use Apple Pay at the table unless there's some device there, and of course the Ziosk enables that. So, yeah, that's exciting.
Well, I understand also, especially with Chili's, because they have reward points. You can earn extra points. You can get your reward points. It's all seamless
yes.
when you're at the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Chili's have built a super loyalty system, and obviously we've played a role to make it as frictionless as possible. Today you can just check in with your phone number. Tomorrow you'll be able to check in just by tapping your phone. Immediately you learn what your offers are, and you can take full advantage of that. So, and in fact, if there are multiple people at the table who all have their own, you know, loyalty identity, it handles it individually for whoever's at the table. They can manage their own system through the split check and all the rest of it. So, yeah, we're excited about that. And I think if you listen to Wyman, the CEO, talking to the Wall Street analysts about how pleased they are with their sign-ups and then with their sign-ins, it's I think they're having a fabulous success with that, and we're happy to be part of that.
And coming back to the type of restaurants you're dealing with that give great customer service, like a Chili's mm-hmm. or an Abuelo's, mm-hmm. that they now can spend more time with you, the customer, helping you and giving you the service necessary. The tactical stuff is now done by the Ziosk, and they don't have to worry about it.
Sure. And they make sure that it's optional. You know, there are people out there who are like, I don't want anything to do with technology when I'm eating lunch, which is fine. Their service is still there. They can still get the same great service. But for those, you know, I know what I'm like. When I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And the fact that I can save myself 8 or 9 minutes by being able to pay and keep my credit card in my hand, that's a big deal.
You don't have to call the server over to get your check.
And by the way, if you ask the server, is that a fun part of their experience? No, that's the part of the experience where pre-Ziosk is where they lose a lot of customer goodwill. They've given great service, and then you know there's the back and forth trip. It takes several minutes to get that done. Now when they're getting the tip, the customer's the most frustrated they've been in the whole meal. And then, but with Ziosk, bang, it's just they get a great tip and the customer goes. So everyone wins.
And the last time I was using this in Abuelo's, I paid and sat there and realized I can leave now.
Yes.
You don't have to wait for anything. It's now over. It's your, as you said, your own choice. You save a lot of time.
The other thing we've done is just to take the stress out of it. Sometimes if you there's the ability to pay on a phone, but then nobody knows whether you've really paid or not. On the Ziosk, the little green light comes on to say, hey, this has been an authenticated payment. So when the guest gets up to leave, they know that no one's questioning whether they've made an authenticated payment or not, and the server doesn't have to worry about it. So, yeah, it's terrific.
Well, we've been talking about what Ziosk is doing right now. How about moving forward? What are the new opportunities for Ziosk as you get bigger and work with more clients?
You know, so I said at the beginning of the conversation, you know, our number one priority is the guest. And we constantly get feedback from the guests about how we can, you know, improve the service for the guests. But ultimately, you know, the measure for us is the people who own those guests at the restaurants. And so we're very, very focused on what can we do to improve restaurant business performance. And so that means things like faster table turns. It means more loyalty signups that drives frequency and so on. So we are spending a lot of time focused on those things that can help our restaurant customers have a better top line, add a better bottom line, and then, you know, be able to invest in greater experience for their customers. We're investing very heavily in the entertainment part of it. So when we started this, we had no idea whether there really would be a great appetite for this entertainment at the table, and it turns out there is. And Ziosk has become a kind of great discovery opportunity. So a lot of people who come along and they may have their favorite games on their phone will still get on the Ziosk to say, hey, what's new? What's cool? So we're having a lot of fun with that.
My problem is every meeting I've had at one of your restaurants has been a business meeting. Haven't had time to play the games.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Speaking of, I mentioned a couple of them, but who are your customers? Who are some of the big players using Ziosk?
So the big, obviously, we've talked about Brinker, which is in all the Chili's stores and all of the Chili's franchisees. We've just finished the Red Robin deployment, which is another great customer of ours. So that's another, you know, 500 or so stores. Darden is the largest, you know, customer restaurant chain in really in the world. We have started in Darden with Olive Garden. These guys are, you know, superb operators, and we're getting towards the end of that deployment. We've also got a set of smaller customers like the Abuelos and Smoky Bones and Uno's and folks like that. And we have multiple what we call proof of concepts going on right now. I think we're at the stage in the market where it's gone from early adopter to early majority. And so we have about 2,500 restaurants out there today. You know, when you think about what that serves, that serves about 500 million people a year. And it's growing very, very fast, and we're really just getting started. So I think we're in the, you know, the bottom of the first. You know, we've got a long way to go. Lots of fun ahead.
Well, I was surprised when I found out that you have 95% of the market, which means there are competitors out there, but have a very small piece of it.
Yes. And look, there are quite a lot of people who've tried this. It's actually not that easy. I mean, we have this motto that we're trying to make the complex uncomplicated. So we're trying to make it as simple as possible for both the guests and for the restaurants. But actually, in the background, there's a lot of heavy lifting going on there. And by the way, we're not complacent at all about where we stand in relation to competition. You know, the more we prove the market out, the more people are going to have a go at this. But so far, we've been able to be very differentiated, particularly in how we execute. So other people have got good-looking stuff, and you know, they look good in demos and all the rest of it, but they've really struggled to actually deploy. So that's our big advantage right now.
If someone would like to find out more about Ziosk, where would they go?
Just go to ziosk.com. There's plenty on the website. And, of course, the strongest thing I'd recommend is go try it. So if you haven't been to a Chili's or an Olive Garden or a Red Robin or an Abuelo's or an Uno's lately, then, you know, I suggest go try it. It's a completely new experience in that space.
And that's Ziosk, ZIOSK.com. Well, Austin, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It was a pleasure. Thanks very much indeed for your time.
This has been a terrific show. Thank you all very much for joining us. It's great having our guests, Gordy Ektenkamp and Austin Mullender, on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.